You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.
Thursday, January 7th, 2021. A lot of questions being asked this morning, and hopefully a few answers start to come to us as the morning continues. Right now, very fortunate to be able to say that Congressman Mike Thompson is safe after all of that occurred yesterday in Washington, D.C., and Congressman Thompson is joining me now here live on KVON. Good morning.
Morning, Barry. Good to be with you.
Good to know you're okay, and I trust all your staffers and others the same there in D.C.?
We're all upright this morning. Okay. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I think, sadly, our democracy suffered a little more than any one individual.
Mm-hmm. I was talking earlier how the mixed feeling of, I can't believe this is happening, along with, I always knew this was going to happen feeling, and I'm not the only person to express that this morning. Does that have any resonance with you?
Yeah, you know, I think that's pretty accurate. You know, there's a number of us who thought that there could be, you know, some serious disruption yesterday, but no one thought it was going to be as bad as it was. You know, we were told to come onto campus early because there was fear that these folks who would come out here were going to try and disrupt things and maybe block the roads, keep us from getting in to vote. But I don't think it was on too many minds that there was going to be an insurrection stage yesterday.
So give us a description of how it played out for you. You were in the House chamber when all this began?
No, I was in my office in the Cannon Building. I came in pretty early, and I had some Zooms and some phone calls and such. And I was evacuated from my office pretty early on. We evacuated to the Longworth House office building, and I set up in the Ways and Means Committee library. And we were there for about an hour and a half, and then they cleared it. Came back. They said there was an explosive device actually close to the Republican Club, which is adjacent to my office building. And so I came back in and was there about 15 minutes. And they came back and they said security had been breached and some shots had been fired. And they evacuated us again. And I spent the next, 4 or 5 hours back in the library in the Ways and Means Committee hearing room. And then when they cleared everything out, I went back to my office and we resumed our work on the House floor and we certified the Electoral College vote to ensure that Joe Biden will be the next president of the United States.
And you talk about all of this very calmly. I'm certain that it wasn't an entirely calm experience the last 24 hours or so.
Well, there was a lot of unknowns. Considered I had one staff person in with me yesterday, and I considered taking that staff person and trying to go out the back and walk to my house and to get away from all of the activity. But you didn't know were the protesters out behind the building, were they in front of the building, or there were just so many unknowns. We were watching all of the activity on a couple of on a laptop and an iPad. And we're somewhat in the dark, but it happened pretty quickly. The Capitol Police Force did not handle it well. They were not equipped for this. The president never called in the National Guard. As you know, they were finally dispatched. But that was done by the vice president. So the mayor of Washington, D.C. is somewhat limited. You know, it's not a state, D.C. So they don't have National Guard capabilities. They marshaled help from surrounding police departments. Matter of fact, I think every cop in the world was contacted and asked if they're in the area to come on over and help. It took a while to get things under control, and that's clearly a shortcoming in what happened. And then the lack of response from the White House was just stunning. Now, this president went out to that rally and incited this criminal activity that took place. That's just completely unacceptable. Hmm.
You, last night, I was, like everybody else, following the news and checked on your Twitter feed. You stated that you were, or maybe it was Facebook, you stated you were okay at one point, and then later joined some other members of Congress and other individuals in saying that now is the time for the 25th Amendment to be enacted. Talk about that a little bit. Some people, I assume, may still not understand what that means. So tell us what you can about that.
Well, I posted on my Facebook that I was sheltered in the Capitol building there, and that I was all right. And that was done because I was literally hearing from hundreds of people from our district who wanted to know if I was all right, if my staff were all right. You know, what was going on, and was their country all right? So I thought it was important to do that. And then when it became apparent that it was the President of the United States inciting this criminal activity, and that the President of the United States was refusing to direct resources to stopping this insurgency, I did exactly what you said. I posted that I believe that it was time that the 25th Amendment be invoked. And what that does is that allows the vice president, and it's the 25th Amendment to the Constitution of the United States of America, and it provides that the vice president and members of the administration, if a president is acting inappropriately and cannot govern appropriately, can temporarily take that power away from the president. And there's a means by which that can be challenged. But I felt it was important to do that to stop this madness. And I don't think that's enough. I think what he's done it calls for more action to stop this behavior from taking place.
It certainly seemed at times yesterday that Vice President Pence was possibly even issuing direction. That's when some of the reporting has been that the National Guard issue was influenced by Vice President Pence. Can you confirm any of that?
Well, I was told that it was the Vice President that called out the Guard.
Yeah, that's what I had heard as well. What does that mean for this next 2 weeks in front of us?
Well, I think it points out the obvious. And I know some people are saying, well, he's only there for two more weeks. Why would you bother doing this? Well, we saw what damage he did in one day. And there's no guarantee that he's going to curtail his activities. So he could really harm our country, our democracy, the people in our country.
So
I don't think you wait.
Yeah.
I think the waiting is done.
Let me circle back to this question about the Capitol Police for a moment. As you mentioned, they didn't do a good job, obviously, because people invaded the space they're there to protect. But people are asking a lot of questions now about how that could have happened, a lack of preparation. Did they not take this threat seriously? You're familiar with that environment. Did it appear to you that all the proper precautions were in place starting the day yesterday?
Well, it's obvious that they weren't. And the Capitol Police, the upper echelons of the Capitol Police, had been called on repeatedly to ensure that they took every precaution necessary. You saw the footage. There were Capitol Police officers who were dispatched to the Capitol, not wearing riot gear. There was a makeshift barrier up that, you know, a five-year-old kid could have gotten through. So they didn't do what they were supposed to do. And then you saw very disturbing pictures of some of those Capitol Police who were taking selfies with the insurgents, and that's certainly not not appropriate. Now, understand that there's a lot of those Capitol Police put their life on the line to protect the Capitol and protect the people in the Capitol. So I don't want to paint everyone with the same broad brush, but there's a problem at the top of the hierarchy that needs to be addressed, and it needs to be addressed ASAP.
Yeah, there is so much confusion from trying to piece together, looking, like you said, at a photo, a video of one of the insurgents, the insurrectionists, taking a selfie with a law enforcement officer. You could probably find similar images like that from left-wing protests from last summer, though. So what did that really mean in that moment? And then there is also an image in video.
There's a couple of things to factor in. One, by not taking the proper precautions, the Capitol Police themselves were put at risk. And, you know, there were a number of Capitol Police officers who were injured. One, I understand, seriously injured. So whomever was in charge let their own people down. And then, as you point out, if you juxtapose yesterday with what was a very peaceful protest in March, protest and march put on by Black Lives Matter, where the Trump administration deployed some pretty serious resources, people in riot gear, the National Guard. They were tear gassing people. If you recall, you know, they tear gassed people and pushed people out of the way so this president could walk across the street and do a photo op holding a Bible upside down in front of a church. And here there is an insurgency against our republic, a complete affront to democracy. And they stand by and watch it happen. So something is amiss, and there needs to be a full investigation of what happened and why it happened, and it can never happen again.
I think the number that I saw most recently about law enforcement injuries was 14, and I saw similarly, as you said, at least one of those was pretty serious. We may get more information about that.
I don't know that the I don't know the number, but I did hear today there was one was seriously injured.
Mm-hmm. Is there any possibility, and I want to reflect on another, again, trying to put these pieces together from what we can see. There's a shot in video of people walking through the rotunda, I guess it is, where there are ropes and stanchions in place. And there's a cascade of people coming through there. No one is running. They're just walking. Some of them literally look like tourists. There's a couple of, you know, grandma and grandpa looking people walking along with a tote bag, like they're taking a tour of the Capitol building. And then alongside them are these agitated, angry looking people who are clearly there as insurrectionists. Is it possible that there was some kind of confusion about whether the Capitol building was accessible to the public yesterday?
No, there was no confusion at all. There were Capitol Police stationed at every entry point telling people that it was closed. The Capitol has been closed to the public now because of COVID for quite some time.
Yeah.
And so there was this was not some misguided, mis, or disoriented tourists that that went down the wrong corridor. This was an illegal activity that every American should be concerned about. This has never happened before. Since 1800, there are only two countries in the United States of America that have never had a violent transfer of power, and the United States and the United Kingdom. And that changed yesterday, and that's why they were there. They were there to interrupt the peaceful transition of power. They were there to interrupt the will of the voters. And it is illegal, and it is un-American on every twist and turn of the journey.
Now, help me out, Mike, if you will, with an issue that I'm struggling with this morning, and I was talking about a little bit earlier on the show. You're a few years older than myself, not a lot. There are, as a friend of mine who's a few years younger than me, is expressing the same thing on his social media. This feeling that as a generation somehow, we have failed in preserving the structure of this democracy that wouldn't have seen something like this as a possibility, you know, even say 20 years ago. Where have we gone wrong as a people, as a generation that should know better in helping to, you know, set the future up for success?
Well, I don't know that I would frame it that way. You know, it was almost 30 years ago when Timothy McVeigh blew up a federal building.
True.
Because he was upset with the government. The increase in militias has been it was pretty heavy then. They went up more underground, you know, after that incident. But they've always been there, kind of percolating under the surface. You have a rise in folks who are disgruntled, be it the Tea Party or the Proud Boys. White supremacy has taken a spike. All of this happening under this president. This president came in and fanned those flames. Make no mistake about that. As a candidate for president and as a president, you know, it was just not that long ago when he told the Proud Boys, what was it, stand by and stand back, or something similar to that. He has perfected the dog whistle in public life, and that's a dangerous thing. And everybody that voted for Donald Trump is not a racist, but make sure you know that every racist voted for Donald Trump, and he fanned those flames constantly. And that's something that we as Americans really have to take a stand against, speak out against, and make sure goes no further.
But prior to all of this, there was already the expectation that the big tech companies were going to have an interesting year ahead of them with the change of administration. And clearly, a lot of people are pointing fingers at how social media has allowed all these hate groups and this fomenting of revolutionary thinking, and in the wrong, small r, bad revolutionary thinking, in my opinion. Where do we go from here in the new Congress in addressing some of those unregulated social media platforms, the whole Section 230 issue, which has been so much in the news? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think there's clearly some things that have to change. You know, on my Facebook, about once a month, I post a picture of Abraham Lincoln with a famous quote underneath it. And that quote is, "Don't believe everything you read on the internet." Now, some people post back and say, "Well, this doesn't make sense. There was no internet back then." Most people get it. The internet is the only place I know where you can go and have easy access to information that's not peer-reviewed, not necessarily factual. And that's a dangerous situation. And as we know, a lot of folks use the internet to provoke violence, There's that whole there's that whole underground internet where there's all kinds of illegal activities that that take place, and I believe that there needs to be better regulation of this. It's a tightrope to walk because you certainly don't want to truncate anyone's right to free speech or deny anyone access to information. And I don't think there's a member of Congress who doesn't believe that Section 230 needs to be looked at and reformed. The problem is this president wanted just to do away with it, and he had reasons that probably weren't the same as the rest of us who want to fix it. But and if you recall, he went as far as vetoing the National Defense Authorization because that Section 230, which isn't part of defense authorization, wasn't part of the bill, and because the Congress of the United States took a positive action in removing the names of sedacious former generals, Confederate generals who fought against the United States of America, killed Americans, and we have military bases named after those people. And those were the two reasons that he vetoed that bill. Now, good on Congress for coming back and overriding that veto in both the House and the Senate. But the 230 issue is a legitimate question, and I, for one, believe it needs to be reformed.
It's going to be an interesting year ahead when things are normal enough to address an issue like that, I suppose. So I guess as a final question...
Well, I'm hopeful.
Go ahead.
I'm hopeful that on January 20th, we start a return to normalcy. I've been in D.C. for about a week and a half now, and I was walking from my house in the other morning, and a woman up the street was walking her dog, and I hadn't seen her for forever, and we said hello to each other, and I said Happy New Year, and she said my New Year begins on January 21st, so. Hopefully, it'll be a new year and a new time where we can get a lot of this behind us and start focusing on our return to normalcy. I just caution your listeners, it's not a light switch. You don't flip it on or off. There's a lot of work to be done, and we need to really get after it.
There are a certain number of people who are saying that representatives in the House, as well as senators who supported this process of leading people on to think there was a possibility to overturn the election, that they should be censured in some way. How do you feel about that? You have 120 colleagues there in the House who were on that side.
Yeah, I think what they did was pathetic, not only did they lead people on, they were part of what took place yesterday. I don't know, how you deal with that. One of my colleagues last night was being interviewed, and he's a very moderate Democrat, somebody who works across the aisle. And he said that it has changed the way that he thinks. That he will, there are some colleagues here who he will never again be able to look in the eye, and so they did damage not only last night and not only with this group of people who believe somehow that our elections aren't run fairly and with transparency, but they did damage to the institution of representative government and the process by which we do the people's work. And it's going to have to be repaired. And if it's not repaired, there's going to be bigger problems. Now, a bright light yesterday was what happened in Georgia. Democrats won two U.S. Senate seats in Georgia. First time that a Democrat has served in the U.S. Senate in Georgia since Max Cleland, who was, I think, elected in 92, I believe. And so this was a big change. And Georgia isn't or it wasn't what you would first on your list if you were writing down all the blue states. This was a big change in that state, and I'm hopeful that it is a sign that things are changing, that people recognize that we need to work together and that we need to get work done for the American people. And I think that's what that Georgia race it's emblematic of that. So I'm hopeful that we'll see some changes. At least now, with the Democrats controlling the Senate, albeit with the narrowest of margins, we'll be able to debate ideas. And that's going to be important. As you know, Mitch McConnell prided himself in not allowing any Democratic bills to come to the floor of the Senate. And just a week ago, he was again said that he was not going to do anything in regard to bills authored by Democrats. He said, even if I agree on the policy, I'm not giving Democrats a single victory. And that is dangerous, very dangerous. And at least now we'll be able to hear a debate on these issues that are so important to American people.
Congressman Mike Thompson from Washington, D.C., thanks for taking time to speak with us this morning. We do appreciate it, and stay safe.
Harry, it's always good to be with you and with your listeners. Thank you, and I'll see you at home soon. Everybody stay safe, and remember that COVID is out there, and this pandemic has been devastating. Do everything you can do to make sure that we stop the spread.
Thank you again, and have the best day you can, all right? Take care.
All right, thank you.
All right.
You're listening to the Wine Country Live Morning Show with Barry Martin
on KVON Napa, 1440 AM at KVON.com.